I think the point is that when we talk about the Buddha's teachings, when we talk about the Dharma, as you said before, it just comes back to the understanding at the present moment, so that we understand the distinction between present realities and the conceptual world that we're used to living in. So that's why the test is always what can be known now, and not being too concerned about the trees in the forest or other topics that cannot be directly known now. So what is real now, would you say? What can be directly known now?
I guess that which can be experienced, that which can be seen or heard or touched.
And to know what is real and what is not real. For example, now, what is real and what is not real?
That which can be experienced is real.
Now, what is real and what is not real?
That which can be seen and heard and touched.
Unreal, right? And what is not real?
Everything else.
The cup and table.
Concepts.
The concepts.
Other beings. Yeah. And
why do we say that they are not real, cups and tables and people?
Because a cup is a concept or something that holds liquid, for example.
There are only realities. Without realities, there cannot be anything like cup or table or people. So in the absolute sense, only the absolute realities are real. So hardness is real. Is table real too?
No.
Without hardness, there is no idea about this is a table.
Mm-hmm. Ajahn, this is on a different topic. It's about that aspect of dana, which is, I'm not sure of the Pali term, but it's to give the other freedom from fear. And it's usually associated with forgiveness, I think. But I'm wondering if you could say something about someone who has a lot of fear, what we can do to help.
No pill.
No pill.
Yeah, only understanding. Yeah. Everyone fears, right? Who does not fear at all? What do you fear? Ghost. The sound in darkness. See? Fear can arise any time by conditions, because one hasn't yet eradicated the fear. One is not anagami, so there must be conditions for fear to arise. So it's a reality only.
I'm thinking for the other who is frightened.
Anyone, anytime. Not today, maybe tomorrow, late at night.
I think the aspect of giving of fearlessness or forgiveness relates to one's own citta. Like when we forgive others, then they no need to be afraid of us because we're kind and gentle at that moment. But your question is more, how can we help someone who is very afraid, has a lot of fear?
That expression actually triggered the question, that to give freedom from fear, in terms of comfort, how to comfort the other. I understand that what the other is experiencing is a result of their own vipaka, but is there something skillful that it is possible to...
Would help that person?
Probably, through wisdom, through skill.
If that person, for example, one might be thinking of a family member who may have a lot of fear and may not have the accumulations to have an interest in understanding present realities. But can we not say, for example, the showing of metta and dana is a help, or just a temporary...
One can do everything, but it depends on that person.
The experience of fear is vipaka, is it? Or no?
The accumulation of fear.
dosa,
accumulated tendency.
Okay. That makes more sense, actually. Yes.
So the seeing or the hearing now is a result of karma, and the fear or agitation or the upset on account of what has been seen or heard, this is the accumulated tendency because of the accumulated ignorance and attachment over and over. So actually the only way that fear can ever be eradicated is through the development of understanding. So the seeing or hearing is a result of karma, but the fear is the response or reaction to what is seen or heard.
And it's not just that person who fears, everyone fears.
And it may not be directly related to what is presently being seen.
Can you explain what you mean by the powder of understanding? That's the
how fine it is. Do you have large, big understanding, or just very little at a time, like powder of understanding?
Okay. The analogy is that the understanding covers things, or that it
at gets
in
sprinkling.
A sprinkling of powder. Mm-hmm.
Sprinkling of understanding develops little by little.
Okay, right.
So
okay,
fine,
yeah.
Like little bits of powder.
Okay, thank you.
Like the same as akusala from each doorway, like seeing, hearing. So panya can be there, but less than that.
Yes, you wouldn't call akusala powder.
Yeah, too.
But a lot of powder, not just a sprinkling.
The same from eyes, doorway, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, exactly the same. It depends on how often that arises, until it can become the range of mountain.
Oh,
higher and bigger than Himalayan.
Right, that's fine. Okay, and then compared to the possibility of it being a mountain.
Until it becomes like that.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So
thank
now
you.
We're carrying mountains of aversion, of attachment.
I think, as you say, for all of us, there's a lot of fear accumulated, but I think that on whatever level understanding is accumulated, just to appreciate that there is just the present moment, and even if there's not enough understanding to understand about particular realities at this moment, but just to even appreciate on an intellectual level that what's gone is completely gone and isn't worth thinking about or clinging after, and what's going to come hasn't come yet and is completely unknown, and that the problem is actually just the thinking with fear at this moment. I found that just even speaking to my mother, for example, at this level can be quite comforting, just a little bit of understanding, even if the person's not ready to hear anything about seeing invisible objects and different dharmas, but just to emphasize the present moment.
It's like wishes to have anyone no fear at all or have lots of understanding, but how can that be without studying and listening? Did Buddha teach not to fear or to understand?
To understand. And then again, it comes back to Anne's question the other day about helping a son, for example. It comes back again to the citta now at the moment of wishing or hoping or wanting to help the other, and the expectation and the frustration. So that's why the Dharma in the end always comes back to the reality now, that's experiencing and being experienced, because in the end we can't know the other, but only the present Dharma can be known.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the questions I had was in terms of if there could be other perceptions, and that kind of thing is a thinking door. If somebody has a dream and they say it was a vision or a that their spirit came to them in their dream or what have you. It's really not another perception door, but the thinking door and their past experiences.
It seems that part of developing understanding is about unlearning conventional understanding, that we make a lot of assumptions about that we understand, but that the study of Dharma teaches us how much we don't understand, so that it's like the learning is, it's a very different sort of process to what we think conventionally.
To me, I think that when I heard the teachings, it's only about realities right now. And so it's time to understand what we do not understand before. And when time comes, there's understanding that intellectual understanding is not enough because it's about realities, but it can condition moment of understanding. So keep on developing the intellectual understanding very carefully so that one can understand reality right now exactly as we have heard before. That's all. No more than that, no expectation.